A More Beautiful Life is a listener-supported show. You can learn more about the benefits you receive from your support, such as access to other courses, special access to tools, blogs, and skills through our Patreon channel, patreon.com/amorebeautifullife. Hello, you are listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. My name is Kate White, and I created this podcast because of my passion for my work as a therapist and an educator in preventing and resolving earliest trauma. I believe that integrating our earliest experiences brings us closer to who we really are. On the show, I will be having discussions with others on the path who have explored healing our earliest experiences in life, or who, in my opinion, have found ways to live a more beautiful life. Today on the show, I have Elsa Asher and Tamira Cassette. They're talking about ancestral healing. Elsa is a practitioner and teacher of somatics and ritual with a specialty in healing developmental and intergenerational trauma. They are a biodynamic craniosacral therapist and ordained kohena, or Hebrew ritual leader. Elsa holds a master's degree in narrative medicine from Columbia University and a Bachelor of Arts in Healing and the Humanities from Antioch University. They have been an associate professor of narrative medicine at Columbia University and Truro University College of Osteopathic Medicine, and presented workshops at various universities and conferences. They identify as queer and non-binary. Tamira is the grandchild of ancestors from West Africa and the Irish-British Isles by way of Alabama, Ohio, and Indiana. She grew up primarily in Atlanta, in a loving Muslim family under the guidance and love of powerful women, namely her mother, aunties, and grandmas. As an ancestral healing practitioner, she is committed to the exploration of reclaiming ancestral rituals and ritual and service to personal wellness and greater cultural healing. She is dedicated to the co-weaving of inclusive healing spaces which celebrate all forms of ancestral diversity and foster intergenerational connections across space and time. She is blessed to make her home on the traditional Catawba and Eno territory with her partner, two children, and four-legged companions. I'm so pleased to welcome these two practitioners as we discuss ancestral wellness as a concept coming through our family line, as well as some of the other things that come through with invisible forces, and how we can change ourselves, our worldviews, our perceptions, and our bodies by orienting more to the health that comes through the families instead of the trauma. Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you both are here.
Hi, it's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation to share time and space together.
Yeah, I'm glad to meet you, Tamira. This is my first time talking with you. And Elsa, I'm really glad that you're here. It's exciting to get this part of your story.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I'm happy to be here and dialogue with you, Tamira.
Ashay, yes.
Yes, these two are coming near to me to offer a workshop on healing the ancestor lineage. So I'm just so very curious. I wanted to hear more about it. So why don't you first, both of you, start by just telling us more about you and about how you got into ancestral healing and anything you want us to know. Tamira, you go first.
All right. So I came to this work close to 2 to 3 years ago. So first off, a little backstory about me. My name is Tamira. I am in North Carolina. In my professional world, I am a chemist. So I work with air quality monitoring for the EPA. I'm also a parent of two small children. I have this beautiful practice of leading folks through ancestral healing, investigating my own ancestral healing process, and allowing my life to be nourished and enriched by that. And I've come to this work really from this space of having my own sort of breakdown, crisis sort of in my life, having really vivid dreams, not having a sense of boundaries, not having framework for working with the unseen world to me, because I don't have the gift of prophetic vision. So working with the non-embodied beings, I came to a point where I was needing to learn how to have a framework to communicate and be in relationship with them. And of those non-embodied beings, my ancestors were showing up, particularly those that were not well. And so I needed a means of learning how to have some balance and some distance, but also how to engage in the healing process through inviting in the well ones to help me contain boundary and hold space for those that were not well. And so that's really what brought me to it. In addition to having children who are truly ancestors returned, they've required of me to be and to evolve beyond the point that I was before I had them. And so they've also been a huge part of my own awakening coming into this work, because they've required more of me to be present in that way and grounded. And
Well, may I just ask a question here? I know we're still just getting to know you, but I wanted to know, I'm a big believer in the invisible forces. Like I know when I teach, I invite them and I see them, I see the connection between the invisible and the visible, often in the work that I do with pre-perinatal work, but having people just engage in their own healing forces, the invisible will show up, and I just invite my audiences to believe in that as well. It shows up in synchronicity and in really big moments where the invisible trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. So I would, can you say more about that, Tamira? Like, how did you know that it was the invisible that was getting your attention?
Definitely waking up in the middle of the night and having these experiences where there were beings. It felt like there were people, persons, like energy in the room of personhood, and not having language for engaging or interacting, sometimes not even feeling safe around it. So having these other senses, sensory capacities that most of us have that we don't use on an everyday basis, at least that I was not socialized or given a framework for using, like this inner knowing, this inner feeling, the inner hearing, having those things like activated, like lighting up in me constantly, and like, whoa, just feeling like a little antenna out there in the storm and lightning just coming all around. So having those moments and not being able to ground, like not even knowing it was important to ground, like not having a framework for the unseen world and having the language and the vocabulary for it. So having those moments, waking up in the, you know, walking into rooms and feeling presences, but not being able to articulate or know what that was, feeling like I was going crazy. Things like that were those little nudges that were pushing me in that direction of like, okay, there's something else here. Something else is happening.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm just so curious, but I know we have a lot to talk about today. So maybe you'll tell a story later, but how did you get from there to, like, your website's amazing with all kinds of practices and stories. And it's clear that you went through a lot of training to offer the kind of medicine that you do. Can you just, so then what happened next? Did you like read a book, or what happened? Did you find someone?
It's been this really checkered and beautiful path. I do spiritual work in a lineage where I work with plant medicine, and that has also been an accelerant to really just opening that doorway and requiring me to show up in another way, learning how to show up in another way. So that was another catalyst that opened for me as this was happening, to help me with grounding, to begin to give me this framework for working with the unseen world, to begin to talk about boundaries and other beings existing outside of what I can see and what I know and outside of myself. And so stepping onto that pathway was really beautiful in illuminating the path. And then from that, once I began engaging more intentionally, purposefully with the spiritual world and building some sort of framework, then I had the opportunity to begin the ancestral healing work literally through synchronicity. Somebody's like, I'm having these experiences when I'm working with the medicine, again, of more ancestors coming that are unwell, feeling them like in my body, seeing things that happen, very traumatic things with respect to the transatlantic slave trade and the treatment of African folks being brought over to this country and really just thrown into the throes of chattel slavery. So seeing that and reliving that on a somatic level, walking around and having these fears and paranoia is beginning to develop, like somebody's going to take my children, like just all these things. And I'm like, okay, I know all of this is like not me, like where is this coming from? And so that was like a person actually suggested, like, you need to do ancestral work. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, my life is already, you know, feels like in the washing machine. And so it took somebody saying that three times. And it so happened that I had friends nearby in the yoga community that were doing ancestral healing work, mm-hmm. who also mentioned it too. And so just the right people, the right places, the right opportunities. Somebody's like, oh, there's a talk happening. Just go to the talk. And I'm like, okay, five different people have told me about ancestral healing. Let me just go to the talk. Okay. It literally is now 10 minutes away from my house.
Right. Oh, well, I hope people out there listening will like come to your talk, come to hear your story, because I think this medicine is really important right now, especially in our area where we've had so much racism and aggression, and mm-hmm. we need to hear these messages. Like I have friends who've had the similar feelings that you described. So, and then they've really been able to link it to what happened to them and their lineage and in this country, on the soil. So mm-hmm. I hear that. I hear that. All right. There are some synchronicities and the invisible world was pushing through the visible world to get to you. So good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll switch to Elsa now. Elsa. So how did you find yourself working with the lineages the way you do?
Thank you for the question. And thank you, Tamira, for the stories you've shared so far. What I could say about this is I grew up with parents who each in their own ways really had a relationship with what we are calling the unseen world, in ways that were really natural to them. And so I feel like I learned it just by their modeling. It wasn't something that they specifically taught me about in an instructional way, but my mom knows a lot about plants, was a botanist, was a landscape architect, and has a really deep relationship with plants, would make flower essences from all the flowers growing in our yard. And we lived on a street that had a dead end into a park, and we walked in the park every day with our dog, me and my brother and mom, and she would gather plants in the park and teach us about them. And somehow my brother learned all the like formal Latin names for all the plants and I didn't. But what we both really learned was that everything is alive and everything is connected, and to be respectful and to be aware of being in relationship with plants and animals and in the more than human world, or what we call nature. And so that was just a part of our everyday life. And with my dad.
Elsa, where did you grow up? Where?
On Duwamish land in Seattle, Washington. Yeah, it was very beautiful land with a lot of vibrancy and aliveness. And my dad has always been really connected to his ancestors, to his family. He was one of the people in his family that knew all of the stories, as many stories as could be remembered. And he was kind of entrained by his father to be a keeper of stories of the family. And so he had ingrained in him all of these ancestral reverence practices, like making special food for people on the anniversary of their death, speaking to our deceased family members, going to visit them at the cemetery and bring them stones and talk with them and eat special. He would always bring hard-boiled eggs and some kind of bread and like eat in the cemetery. My grandfather called that a family reunion. It's like when you go say hi to everyone at the cemetery and eat eggs. So that was all just part of our life. And I wasn't really conscious of like, this is animism, this is ancestral reverence. It was just like, I'm 4 or 10 or 14 living. But I had, you know, I appreciate Tamira, you sharing some of your story, because I had a lot of experiences as a kid that didn't make sense for my life. Like I had incredibly vivid and intense recurring dreams or nightmares of various experiences of being in Europe during World War II, during the Holocaust. And I just like felt and experienced things I just knew that they weren't from me. Like I was born in 1985 in Seattle. Like this wasn't from my actual embodied lived experience. And I felt presences, or like I would kind of get these intuitions, like I feel really good about something, I feel really good about a person, or I really don't want to be around that person, or I don't feel safe going somewhere, or like I would have these feelings like something weird was going to happen. So that was just part of my life. And I feel like my parents gave me a lot of framework for how to honor ancestors and be in relationship, but we didn't have a lot of tools for what to do if ancestors are well, if ancestors are not well, like how to help them heal beyond the kind of funeral rites and customs in the Jewish tradition that happen in the first year after someone has died. So like basically anything that wasn't taken care of in that first 11 months, like I didn't have a lot of understanding about, aside from making food offerings, how to actually discern how someone was in their own being in the moment and how to negotiate proximity and figure out what kind of boundaries I wanted to have with them. And then also who I could call on or how I could initiate some kind of healing process. And so it's been really helpful to learn various methods and principles for ancestral healing to engage in that repair process. And I think the underlying principle of the way that I work, and this is something that Tamira and I hold in common and in our approaches, is that really working with resource and looking at where is their support, where is their resource, where is their health, where is their eldership, where we can call on an older ancestor who we feel really good about, who we trust, who feels well, who is in their eldership and has the capacity to guide a healing process. And so it's the same like in somatic work. We don't dive headfirst into some well of trauma without any bearings or support. Like we first feel where's the resource in our body, and then we build capacity to integrate and metabolize a place of trauma or constriction. And so the same principle applies to working with ancestors, is coming into relationship with where there's resource and then engaging in a process together to support where healing is needed.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. I mean, we don't live that way anymore unless we're brought to it either in our culture or in our family tradition about elders and aunties and uncles. But, you know, there is now a much more awareness of transgenerational, intergenerational trauma, but there isn't this awareness of the wellness in the lineage, which I really want to hear about. Like, I want to hear what is great about this work is the building up of the awareness of the strengths of our lineage. So can you both say more about that? Tamira, let's start with you.
Yes. I just want to say thank you for saying that, because I know when I first started engaging in the ancestral healing work, my experiences with like oppression and trauma as they function really had narrowed my capacity of what I knew to be an ancestor as an enslaved person on the continent of the United States. I had no memory or thought that there could be wellness prior to that. That was huge and vast, right? For millennia, rather than this concentrated time of 400 years where all this trauma and, you know, things happen, and, you know, we're down lineage from it, and it's very present in where we live today. But I didn't have a memory. Like, there was no capacity for memory for anything beyond that for me. And so in coming to this work, it was really a stretching for me in opening these new reflexes and a rewiring for myself of like what was actually possible, and remembering that there was something before being here that was way older than this that we have right now. And so for me, it was, and it continues to be, this really beautiful process of remembering and shaking the amnesia of trauma and oppression that has been intergenerational for myself and my family members, and going back beyond that and having language to talk about something existing beyond that. And so I'm finding for myself, those parts continue to just come online as I'm in relationship with my elders, for me to have the capacity to articulate it, to share it with other people, to share ritual and songs that are coming through that are reflexive of this bigger, wider narrative that is like so rich and so full. And not that that concentrated time was not, but there's also more beyond that, right? There's, you know, other roots, parts of the root system of the tree, right? So there's this bigger, deeper exploration of that for me.
Well, can you give an example from your lineage? Like, I can feel it. It's like the richness of it. Like, I want to slow down and kind of savor this, the beauty and this, I don't know, it feels like a stream, like a wide stream. And so just please say more.
Yeah. So I think one example, I will give you the example of the land, having a relationship with the land, and based on the United States, the history with like chattel slavery, I know for myself and members of my family, it's been a very interesting conversation of even being outdoors. It's like, oh, we don't want to be out there. It's hot. Like, what are you doing? Why are you gardening? Why are you working, you know, the land? I've had cousins say, our ancestors worked hard enough on the land. We don't need to grow anything, right? And so there are like these interesting conversations that come up where it's like very present that there's still residues of like trauma and complication from the relationship we were forced into with the land. And speaking like for myself, this has been a healing process for me to come into a deeper and cleaner relationship with the land based on the wellness that preceded that time of the narrowed window of like all the trauma and suffering that happened during that time. But oh, we have the capacity to have this relationship with the land where I don't feel like I'm forced to work it, but I can actually be in relationship like with the plants, be in relationship with the soil. And my children were another catalyst for that, because when they came along, they were like, oh, we're going to be outside. Like, we're going to be rolling in the dirt. We're going to be eating mud. We're going to be in this creek over here catching frogs. Mom, I found a lizard. Like they had this totally really open and beautiful relationship with the earth and with the natural world, the more than human world, that I didn't actually know was possible, that I had a capacity to have just because of just feelings that I had about like working, quote unquote, the land or having a garden or even just planting things, because it felt just complicated in my body. There was like a conflictual feeling in my body. It didn't sit right and it didn't feel well. And so it's been just this deeper exploration of like, oh, I can be in like a healthy, balanced relationship with the land. like, go figure. And my children are like, yeah, you know, they're 5 and 7, and that's their invitation, is to like, Mom, we want to grow things. We want to plant things. We want to know, what is this plant? How does it grow? And, you know, like growing cycles and seasons and, you know, bugs and critters, like having that respect and depth of connection is possible. And they remind me that, my people remind me just how important it is to remember, like, our bodies come from this land. Mm-hmm. Like, our physical makeup comes from the land, and that it's possible to have these relationships that are really deeper than the conditions here on earth, the human condition, right? Mm-hmm. The human condition that we experience at the hands of one another, but really having this really deep relationship that is rooted in a state of wellness and wholeness that's present in the earth, outside of the conditions that we are swirling in and that are impacting other folks, or we are pushing onto each other, but really to root in the state of wellness and the deep connection that we have to the land that is giving us form, that is housing our soul in this lifetime. And so it's been deepening that, those layers of respect and beauty and tending for me. And yeah, it's been really humbling. So grateful for all the experiences and the rewiring of memory, and just new memory constantly coming in online, challenging constantly, like, the conditioning that I've had about myself, about my ancestors. So
yeah, so I hear there's a vein of wellness in relationship with the land in your ancestral lineage. So mm-hmm. And your people, you say on your website, are they Brazilian, and they're, where are they from?
They're West African, British, and Irish.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's people speaking through the invisible to have you connect more with your traditions that and you're remembering them, especially through the children. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. They're bringing that medicine because they're so still wired into that plane of existence, still tapped into that plane of existence. They say, like, the children or the ancestors return. They're like the freshest off of that realm. And so they're bringing a lot of that wisdom and a lot of the desire for me to meet them in those spaces. And what I have to do is to grow and to evolve and to work on leveling up to meet them and the medicine that they're carrying in the world.
Nice. Yeah. How about you, Elsa? What brought you to the ancestral healing?
Yeah, I love this question of how we find, like, the blessings and medicines or gifts that are passed down through the family, mm-hmm. because it feels like the same way that our own personal trauma can obscure access to ourself, access to a felt sense of our own presence, access to perceiving the moment accurately. In the same way, more recent ancestors are in a state of trauma or disorientation or whatever way we want to describe a particular kind of unwellness in the moment, like, there, that is obscuring, like what Tamira was talking about, like, that's obscuring that vein, that taproot, that lineage of passing down blessing and skill and capacity and prayer and gifts from generation to generation. So it's really about the healing work is about metabolizing what is there that's obscuring all of that blessing. And that's, to me, the really beautiful part of ancestral healing work is the removal of that obscuration. And then people can start to really feel like, wow, like, I actually do come from people who are loving and wise and connected to each other and themselves and to the earth, and have deep, ongoing, abiding relationships with particular plants and animals. Because a lot of people don't feel that way about maybe their immediate family or their recent ancestors of the last few generations. you know, it's particularly painful when people grow up in a traumatic home or with early childhood trauma or developmental trauma. There's a real like natural and like a response that I understand and that makes sense to kind of distance oneself from family, which in one way is really appropriate. I respect and honor, but there's this importance of realizing there's also a deeper layer of family. Like we're not just from the people who lived in the past 100 or 200 or 300 years. We're from people who lived 400 years ago and 1,000 years ago and 5,000 years ago and beyond before that. And those people are just as much our family, and their experience, their wisdom, their blessing, their prayer for us is just as real. And so when a lineage is intact and everyone has been tended to generation by generation, and everyone in that ancestral lineage as well, they each can be open channel for that blessing. And the trauma is the obscuration in that, or the blocking in that open channel. So it's really about a restoration of receiving the prayer and blessing from those older than us, from our ancestors. And I think that's really important because one aspect of developmental trauma is role confusion, and that someone younger, i.e., in this situation, a child, feels compelled to take care of their parents or grandparents or those older than them because there's this like gaping need. And it's really about, you know, in somatic work, we talk about reinstating appropriate roles and really getting the accurate reflection of like what's appropriate to your role and what did the adults have responsibility to take care of in a family and what children weren't responsible for that maybe they were made to feel responsible for. So in the same sense, we're doing that with the ancestors, which is, it's actually not for us as the youngest descendants, or if not, if we have children, not youngest, but second youngest descendants, to heal the whole lineage that came before us. But we can ask our ancestors to engage in the process with us. And by us as beloved descendants asking, they respond to that. And so I really see, and you can hear in the way that I'm talking about it, the way that somatic developmental trauma healing work, intergenerational trauma healing work, and working with ancestors really are overlapping and interwoven with each other. And it's really just about this whole thing of communicating with the unseen realm, like, is just a part of being human. I think it's really natural. You know, it's clear some people might have a particular affinity, or maybe they themselves, or they in themselves, and also they come from a family where that's like a particular way of the family. But that's not, that might just be a particular additional layer, but a basic kind of being able to have an inner knowing, to dream, to have some kind of visionary capacity, I think is actually really normal. And I always teach about that. Like, this isn't a special spiritual thing that anyone's doing. I'm not doing this because I'm like special and spiritual. It's just a really normal part of being human. And as Tamira was talking about it, I think we actually really come in with it. And then based on our socialization, it's kind of like socialized out of us. And so it's really about restoring this additional kind of innate layer or capacity of communication and perception and this kind of knowing. Yeah. Which then allows us to have access to an older wisdom and blessing and layer of relationship that goes deeper than just whatever is the particular recent trouble or trauma that our people experience.
Yeah, that sounds really good, because I have it. I've also heard that there's people that come into form to heal the lineage. So I'd like to talk with you about that. But before I ask you about that more, my perception of the ancestors is that they want us to thrive. I mean, that's been my felt sense of them, and that they often will get on the other side and say, oh, darn, I didn't, and then fill in the blank. You know, there's some feeling that they've shed some of the difficulties that they have in this life and are there just wanting us to here on planet Earth to be thriving. So I hear that in your storytelling, that there is a sense that we can connect with them. And I'm curious about how you help people find the wellness if they are very, very connected to their story. I mean, it feels good to have you name, Elsa, that this is the pattern, like what's negative will be most forward in our lives, because that's a negative bias from trauma. It obscures mm-hmm. the health that's in our lineage. Many people walk around with these pretty horrible stories and pain from previous generations, and that gets recapitulated. I see it happen in family lineages all the time, because the pattern seeks healing. So how do you both help people find the wellness? I imagine, like, it's like what we do in somatic healing, Elsa. You make the coherent field really big, and then do you go back and forth like we do in trauma healing, or is there something else that you do? Tamira, how about you first? Yeah. You're muted.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm muted. So the way that we do this is through light meditation, trance work, journey work, where we are guiding folks to go back to those that are well. Where is the point of wellness in the lineage itself? Like, where does it feel most well and most resourced, right? So we're guiding folks to find these points of wellness, and then to make connection or ask for a guide, ask your elder collective here to send a guide forward who will act as one who is wearing the mask of the lineage, that's able to do the healing work that's needed, that's able to contain the unwellness there, right? And so it's an invitation for folks to engage in that, going far back, as far as they need to go, to tap into that part of the taproot. Like, where is the wellness? Let's find it. Let's be in that space. And it's through mm-hmm. light meditation, trance work, journey work. Folks have different names for what they're calling it, but it's really coming into embodied presence and slowing down to be in the body. Mm-hmm. And for me, it feels like this remembering of the possibility of there actually being wellness. Oftentimes, as I'm guiding people through the connection with their people, they're like, oh my God, that was like so great. Like, I didn't even, you know, I've had this really layered and messy and complicated relationship. And I just know for myself, like, having a complicated relationship with my mother, whom I love very dearly, having the sense of like these older, wiser beings coming in and showing that capacity for relationship and showing what it looks like to have a well child, well parent relationship with me, like getting to live that as an adult has been incredibly, incredibly healing. And so the light trance work, journey work is the way that we facilitate the mm-hmm. process for people to drop in and to connect mm-hmm. with their bright and benevolent people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elsa, would you like to add to that? Any specifics, any stories?
Yeah, I can add some. Tamira gave a really great kind of summary and description, and it's really very similar to somatic trauma healing work, where we are creating a resonant field and really opening up a space. I really see my job as a facilitator is to open up a space to be in resonance and congruence in myself, and to invite, every time I'm facilitating or working, I'm inviting my ancestors to be there with me, both my ancestors of my family and my ancestors of tradition that I am like bound in or rooted in, to invite them to come and be in the space and support and resource what's happening. So it's also, well, ancestors are then invited into the space to be a part of that resonant field. And then really what Tamira is saying is just it, we're in embodied presence. And it's simply as simple as turning our attention towards the ancestors. Like they're there, they're with us all the time. It's not about, do we want to have a relationship with them? It's, do we want to have a conscious relationship with them? And that part is really important, because when we have conscious relationship, then we get to have consent, we get to have choice, we get to have boundaries, we get to have negotiated proximity. When we have an unconscious relationship, it's just happening and we don't have any of those places of choice or empowerment. Mm-hmm. So it's simply just turning our attention to these relationships and this aspect of being that's always here. And it's, we often are doing it either
in
individual
sessions or in larger group workshops. To support our show, please go to Patreon.com/A More Beautiful Life.
The support of people who are there as facilitators, the support of we're doing it all together inside of this larger field, brings resource to each person's individual process. So really the work happens inside of a larger ritual container, and the deep intention of that ritual container is really as an offering to the ancestors, an offering to the land where the workshop is taking place, where the ritual is taking place.
Mm. Oh, that sounds really great. You're going to be on, I think, Powhatan land. I'm not sure, maybe Monacan land here in Virginia. And I love that the land will receive that also. And I look forward to hearing more. When you come, your workshop's 3 days, I think. So can you just tell listeners a little bit more about what you're going to be doing? Either one?
Yeah,
Tamir?
So our workshop is February 28th to March 1st. And we are going to be in Keswick, Virginia. And Tamir and I both lead these workshops in various places, and I'm really happy that Tamir and I are going to be co-facilitating and weaving this together. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you're saying in this part of the conversation, because the earth is where our bodies go. Mm-hmm. And the earth is really like the larger field or being that is holding our ancestors. Even if they're cremated, even if they're in the ocean, wherever they are, like this larger earth is the space where our people's bodies are. So honoring the earth and honoring our ancestors are one and the same. And so when we're doing this work, we're not, like, I'm not doing it because I have some special capacity to help your ancestors heal. We're really doing it as an offering and receiving and engaging in the healing process that is possible through the gift of that offering.
That sounds very honoring. Tamir, would you want to add anything before we start to complete our interview today?
No, that was absolutely like it. That was totally perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Elsa.
Right. Well, I'm going to make sure I link in the notes to both of your websites so that people can find out more about you. And I don't know if you have any story that you want to say or anything that you'd like to further say to complete our interview. I usually like to end our times together asking you what makes your life more beautiful. Elsa, why don't you go first this time?
Sure. What makes my life more beautiful? Feeling my innate belonging in this much, much larger field of our ancestors, of other living humans, of the more than human world, mm-hmm. and that I am contributing with my honoring and prayer and work that I have the opportunity to do, but that I'm part of this much larger ecosystem.
Mm, I love that, feeling my innate belonging. I love that. Mm-hmm. Tamira, what makes your life more beautiful?
Yeah, Elsa, everything you just said, and I would add just for myself, feeling like in being in relationship with the ancestors, I have taken my place here on earth to be a part of life-affirming ritual. Like, I see them as holding down the ritual in the ancestral realm for life to continue. And now I get to be on the other side, remembering the rituals they're holding, remembering the prayers that they're holding, pulling in their resourcing, and really stepping up in mine ritual here to help complete the cycle of ritual that's happening. So I'm stepping up and doing my part and feeling that and feeling their prayers and their blessings as they show up and manifest in my life, the ways that they're in communication with me through my children. All of that makes my life feel so beautiful, the remembering, the capacity to remember that mm-hmm. through relationship.
Mm. Well, listening to the two of you gives me so much hope, because I think there are some ways that we just feel like we're drowning in trauma or drowning in the weight of what's happened to us and our people. And I will hope this message goes out to people out there who feel like they are here to hear to heal their lineage, because it sounds to me like that's not what you all have found in your ancestral healing experiences. It feels much bigger, wider, deeper, and, you know, I mean, far, very far in the hundreds of years of our people, that there's wellness there. And I'm excited to have an experience with the two of you coming up really soon. That would be February 28th to March 1st here near to me in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's in Keswick at the Bridge Between the Worlds. I'll put all this in the notes. And thank you so much for coming and spending time telling us stories of ancestral healing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Yeah. Thank you, Tamira.
Thank you both, Kate and Elsa. It was so beautiful to be here and spend time weaving virtual ritual together.
Yes.